I quickly wanna say something, and you know, one of the, yes, it feels weird with my, I don't know how to, if, so, but one of the things that is probably one of the worst strategies whenever you go into a fight is to pretend that the enemy or your opponent is not there. So can you imagine in a boxing fight that my strategy is go like, my opponent doesn't exist. My opponent doesn't exist. My opponent doesn't exist. So for the opponent, it is a field day because you close your eyes and the much you say, my opponent doesn't exist, you just go bong, 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 bong. And so many times in Christianity, I find the same thing, that people somehow think by saying that the devil doesn't exist or the devil is not there or he's not present, in some ways that will help us for him to stay away. That's not going to happen. He's going to come out to destroy you and kill you, whether you acknowledge him to be there or not. That's what he does. The other thing that I want to say is, and I want to emphatically say it so that everybody will know it here, we believe in deliverance. We believe in the casting out of demons. We've cast out many demons of people that's in this room, and we will continue it. We are not a demon-friendly church. And if you have a demon, we want it out. I tell you now, we want it out. We don't want demons here. Okay? And if we see them, we chase them. Definitely. Amen. 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 The second thing is, on a little bit on the flip side of this, is when people, we also not, yeah, I must be careful in how I say it. When there's at times when people are struggling with certain chemical imbalances or even hormonal difficulties that cause them to be in some ways, I'll say, depressed or some mental struggles, we are not absolutely against medication. And we can see that there is space at times for God to use medicine to help people in that regard. The amen is not so emphatic as the previous one. It's a damned amen. For all the guys with no faith, that will be an amen there. It's not what we're saying. And we're saying that there is space for it. But in saying both of those things that I just mentioned, in both of those things that I just mentioned, I want to give a big fat but. And saying that we must be wary that we want to create a Christianity that we take the war away. And in both these instances, I have seen that increasingly people are asking, can you just take the devil away? Just cast it out. Or can you just take the struggle away? I'll even just medicate it. And I want to say that such a large part of our Christianity is learning how to fight and resist the devil. He's not being removed. He needs to be resisted and he needs to be fought. The devil will listen, regardless of my grammar, right? In Jesus' name. He moves by faith, not correct grammar, Saki. Jesus listens to me, regardless of my grammar. So in Judges 3, there's 1 to 6. Sorry, guys. Now, these are the nations. This is Judges. It's after Joshua. It's after. I'll watch this. The same book in the Bible. Now, these are the nations that the Lord left to test them. That is all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. So, this is what happened. It says there that God has left certain nations in Israel so that the nation of Israel can learn how to war. Deliberately, the Lord left the enemy. So that a generation that has not learned to fight would learn how to fight. I am wary and I'm worried that we can create generations that doesn't know how to fight. And so what we are saying, whenever there's difficulties, cast it out. And I, as much as I believe in deliverance, I will say a large part of our Christianity is not the removing of the enemy merely, but is to learn how to fight the enemy. Verse 2. It was only an order, this is it, it was only an order that the generation of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. Now, there's two sides of it, you guys. So part of our war with the enemy would be that the enemy is full blast going to steal from you. He's full blast going to lead you in temptation. The things that you've overcome to lead you back into it. And so there's a defensive side of us in our Christianity. But there's an offensive part of our Christianity that God is helping us and teaching us to overcome the enemy. Instead of taking the enemy away, He gives us certain truth to fight, to resist, and all of those type of things. And so even when we stand with one another, it is not that I remove the enemy, but we can help one another speak the truth so that each one would learn how to fight the enemy for themselves. All right. Now, a little while ago, Denton, that's not here, Denton is in Vietnam. He's flying to Vietnam as we're speaking right now. But he gave me a word, and I initially did not quite understand it. I think I misinterpreted it. So here it is, Isaiah 21, verse 5, only verse 5. It says, they prepare the table. They prepare the table, they spread the rugs, they ate, they drank. Arise, O princess, oil the shield. And it's a very interesting word that Isaiah is prophesying and says to the people of Israel that they need to anoint their shield. And so Denton gave, and he says, like, oh, I just felt like the Lord says we need to anoint our shields. And I was like, oh, that's cool. We need a little bit more anointing. And so maybe we can teach people how to operate in the anointing more and so on. But then as I went to go and investigate what this anointing of shields mean, actually there's previously when Israel lost the war, Israel lost the war. And then Samuel comes to them and Samuel says this thing to them, guys, Samuel is smiling. He heard his name in church. It was like it's special. So... Yeah. So Samuel says to them, and this is what he says. He says, the reason why you've lost the war is your shields were not anointed. And so the shields in that time was covered with animal skin. And so like any leather or skin, if it's not treated, after a while it becomes hard. And when it becomes hard, it cracks or it breaks. It's the same thing like new wine skins. If the wineskin becomes old, even when new wine comes, it cannot adapt, it cannot move, it cannot mold, and so it cracks and it breaks. While if the shield or the skin is anointed, it is pliable. And so for an arrow to penetrate, it's much harder to penetrate an anointed shield than an unanointed shield. And what happened in those days with the nation of Israel is there was a time that the guys neglected to anoint their shields. And so what they found is that arrows penetrated, where before they will go into the fight and just go like, no problem. Suddenly they went, and it just pierced. And so that which was supposed to be their guard or their cover weren't there, and the enemy shot right through them. And in this, because the shield was unanointed, Israel lost the war. Now here's the thing, and I think it's a prophetic word for us. I think the enemy is penetrating some arrows in our lives where he didn't before, simply because our shields are not anointed. And I'm saying it because I think it's a prophetic word for us. And I think we need to give heed. Otherwise, we must taken out a little bit here. I say a little bit because I'm trying to soften it up. But you know, he doesn't do things in half measures. He's going to go full out. And so in 1 Peter 5, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Now, this is a very interesting one. We'll just look at that one now. So it says that the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he's destroying. So I just want to say, guys, the devil does not play nice. You know the saying that we always say, speak someone your own size? He's not going to do that. So a couple of years ago, we went to the Garden Route, and there was a little animal encampment or some type of place that you can see animals. And they had a certain hyena encampment there. It's high fences, about a hectare big. I don't even know if these hyenas was from the wild or they kind of got born into that place, but they were hyenas. Once a hyena, always an hyena. So we walked past this encampment, our family. It was a couple of years ago. Sakura was 4 or 5 years old. So we're walking, and as it is, you know, we're just walking, and Sakura's just a little bit behind us. And it was for a moment the most scariest thing, I don't want to go what I've ever seen, but it was quite scary to see, as Sakura was just a little bit behind us, and clearly the weakest link in the tribe, the hyenas, it was as if all of them went alert and ran straight to her. I mean, it was like, you realize it is a thickness of a fence or she's gone. And it was as if they are kind of zoned in. There's weakness. Weakest one in the tribe, 2 meters behind the rest. It just, and I just want to say that's completely how the enemy goes. You know, it's like, I'm so busy nowadays. Surely the enemy will understand. Let's be fair here, right? Have a bit of understanding with me. No. He's waiting for you to find you at your weakest, at your most vulnerable. He's not playing fair. So, actually, last year, it's exactly the same time, same thing. We were at Nock's dad was with us. He's 80 years old. So we went to a lion park down the west coast. Same thing. Sakura's a bit bigger now. He's sussing it out. Who's the weakest one? Check the old guy. And the lion went. This is like seeking and looking out for weakness. Those are two things. You're looking for weakness. That's how the enemy hunts. He looks for weakness, and he looks for those that isolate themselves from the tribe. So on a farm, one of the big things that I'm learning more and more is the jackals. And so what's happening that I didn't understand, I thought like if all the ewes are lambing in the same time, there's lots of options for the jackals so they can just have a field day. But as soon as there's lots of lambing at the same time, the sheep are kind of herding and the jackals can't do anything. The jackals are waiting for the ewes, for the isolated lambings, and then they strike. And I'm saying these are the two things. The enemy is going to look for weakness, and the enemy is going to look for isolation. You might think it's so, but I'm saying the enemy is working us to find ourselves just a little bit separate from the tribe, just find us a little bit alone, and he will strike at that moment. When Jesus was tempted, I'm just saying the devil. When did he tempt Jesus? Oh, just when Jesus got baptized, the Spirit of the Lord is falling upon him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. No, the devil doesn't come then. Waits for him, fasting for 40 days. But please just understand, I'm fasting here, man. Just no. I'm looking for you when you're at your weakest, when you're struggling the most. And this is what he says. He was resisted. Jesus resisted him. Classic. Resist the devil. He flees. And then it says, and the devil was looking for a more opportune time. When is I'm going to find that shield to be a little bit hard? When is the anointing around the shield a little bit less? So let me ask you guys a question. Just consider quickly. I asked it in the prayer meeting. So you don't have to put up your hand if it's not the case. But if it's the case, please help me out. How many of you have overcome certain things in God? Like you used to struggle with lust, or you used to struggle with depression, or you lose, I don't know what your struggle was. But you have, in some ways, you could look back and say, there's a fair measure of overcoming of it. How many of you have found in the recent season, the thing that you have kind of overcome, you just felt an increased temptation, the thing that you thought you've overcome? Anybody like that? Can you guys just put up your hands? Just look around you if your hand is up. The enemy is looking for an opportune time. He has left in a certain time. And I want us to look around. The reason why I put up our hands, look around. You're not alone. This thing that is reoccurring, I thought I'm overcoming. I thought I'm finished with this thing. And it's coming back. You're not alone, firstly. So just announce that you're not alone. Look at others and cry out, whoa, help. Let's get into the tribe. Don't isolate yourself and try and fight this alone. But the other thing is, you know, what is the opportune time that the enemy is finding? And I think that there's just the finding of shields that's a little bit hard in our midst. And I want us to consider just those shields this morning, that if there's any lack of anointing there, if there's any, that we will make sure that we anoint those shields again, and the enemy cannot penetrate. So here's something that I wanna say. I think there's, again, I think busyness is hardening our shields. I think busyness is hardening our shields. Now, people don't like it when I call names, but I checked with him beforehand. I spoke to Yandre. Where's Yandre? There's Yandre. Yandre is an elder. So Yandre just got a new job. And Yandre just got a baby. Well, his wife, but you know, he goes, they have a new baby. I just want to say new families meaning new parents, I fully understand that you are more busy. I understand that life is completely hectic. I just want to say the devil also understands. And the devil is not going, oh, you know, they've got a baby. It's like, oh yeah. That's how he thinks. Oh yeah. They disrupt it. There's just so many ways to go in there. And so, Yandre, I mean, and I so appreciate it. I said, like, you know what? He comes to me. He said, you know what? I just feel that something that I've overcome a while ago, like a long time ago, and it's like, this thing is not even, the devil has not even visited me on this area for years. Suddenly, it's back there. And I'm like, devil, I mean, this is so unfair. And please, this guy's a new job. The guy has so much responsibility. He has a baby. Have mercy, devil. No, he doesn't. And because of busyness, he has seen it as an opportune time to get in there. Now, Firstly, I want to say, and I just, this is a special nugget to the new parents. Guys, we need to stay intimate. We need to stay intimate with Jesus. And we need to stay intimate with one another. Body, soul, spirit. I'm speaking to couples here. Really, there's a battle on that one. And if we neglect intimacy here, and if we lack intimacy here, we allow the enemy to come and steal. So I want to ask, even in the craziness of the new season around these type of things, that we will guard intimacy. Intimacy is a weapon with the Lord and with our spouses. Body, soul, spirit. And so I'm just like, in Jesus' name, fight with intimacy and fight well, right? But the other one, you know, with busyness, and I'm just saying in general, you know, the foolish virgins, is the foolish virgins and the wise virgins looked exactly the same. All of them had anointing at some stage. But the thing about the foolish virgin is some of the previous season's anointing was enough to keep them going. So I go like, and I found it so many times in my life, I kind of had so much life from my previous season, and that's carrying me quite far at the moment. And so like, I'm like, I don't need to spend, I mean, I don't think it like that, but that's kind of, I'm doing all right. And then one day I find myself very, very dry. And I want to say foolish virgins is foolish soldiers. Some of us, the anointing in our, it's pretty dry. Because we do not find the time in the busyness to get to the Lord. Now, I want to say, I understand, and I tell you, Jesus understand that life is different and all those type of things with where we are at and our work and so on. But I'm asking us in Jesus' name, that we will not in somehow chow and eat of the busyness or allow it to steal from us that anointing is stolen, that we become foolish virgins in this way. The second thing that I want to say is, you know, is offense. How many of you have felt, you know, when I'm doing really well with the Lord, I get much harder offended? Oh, yes, it's true. It's amazing when I'm doing well with the Lord that I'm just not so sensitive. And it's like the arrows would come, but it will just not penetrate me. As soon as I'm not doing well with the Lord, I'm becoming sensitive. And I just want to look at your hearts now. How sensitive are you? How easily does that arrow penetrate at the moment? How easily does the thing that a person says, suddenly your mind goes, why did he look at me like that? What did he mean by that? Oh, it's nice when we're alone, our mind can just go, oh, like let the little bookie goes alone, and then the devil will feed them with this thought. You know what he said today? You know what he actually means? You know that look that's actually? And before you know it, look, guys, I'm saying the enemy is looking around like a lion. He's looking for a hardness of a shell, of a shield. He's looking. And offense is the... Oh man, that's his ultimate weapon. And he's just looking, where can he find a weak spot? And his arrows is going to drill you and drill you and drill you. And if that shield in some ways are hard, it's just going to go through. And if an offense strikes in our hearts, that just multiplies the hardness of heart. And from there on, the enemy can get a field day. So I'm asking, you know, I'm asking again that you would consider, that you will consider just the slightest of offense. You know, it's weird how offense sometimes comes. But sometimes it's the first arrow doesn't go all the way through. It just hits kind of halfway in there. Just leaves a thought, just leaves an idea, just leaves a suspicion there. And then he finds the next one to just drive it in, but it just finds an opening. I just ask again, you know, that we will make sure in the area of offense that we will clear our hearts from that. Then the third point that I want to say, I quickly want to read this verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12-13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not allow you, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You know where our weakest spots is just after victories. Just after successes, the enemy is waiting for us there. Say for instance, Lisi's life at the moment so much, but I know Lisi for a long, long season had a battle. She had a battle with provision and job. There was a lot. She was daily in a battle. It was. The shield was up, the war was up, and we saw together breakthrough. Now, I don't know where she's now, but I'm just saying, we saw breakthrough. She's in a completely different season now. But I'm telling you, that's that shift from the different season that the guard sometimes goes off. I know many of us have went through seasons of victory, of seasons of success, or the completion of a season. We've finished with something. We've completed. We've handed over a comm. We've done that well, and suddenly it just goes, the guard just goes off. It is interesting that the greatest worker of God, maybe it's touch and go between him and Moses. Moses split the Red Sea. Let's give it to him. That's pretty cool. But Elijah called fire and killed 1,000 Baal prophets. I mean, calling fire from the sky. I mean, that's like, I mean, he was incredible in the amount of power that he was. It's Moses and Elijah. And that's a fight there for who's top dog. Probably I would give Elijah. He's seen. It's just like Moses is just for the scholars, but for the cool guys, Elijah's the guy. For the guys who want action, Elijah's the guy, right? So Elijah saw the greatest, one of the greatest works. Let's be gracious to the scholars. One of the greatest works of God, he saw for his hand. And I'm telling you, if I have done what Elijah have done, if I just see through my hands a victory to that extent, something of me goes like, I'm the man. And something of me just have my guard dropped. You know, I remember when I just started preaching, how I was on my knees, not so much for the people, but for me. Oh God, let me just come onto the other side alive and all those type of things. And I know kind of, I had a mom. You know what I mean with a mom? I mean, she was like mothering me to the 10th degree. And she was like in that way. And whenever she heard I'm preaching, she's like, I'm praying for you and I'm all those type of things. And then after a while, as I thought like I'm getting a little bit better with this, and I can actually do this now. I mean, I don't need your prayers. And my mom would go like, I heard you had this, like, just know I'm praying for you. And there was something in me at some stage that went like, what do you mean? I'm not a loser. I can do this without your prayers. And it was in those moments, you know, when I found, boom, this is just dead. And I'm telling you, with some of us, it's the same thing. The enemy has seen us overcome, and there's victories there. I tell you, waits for you on the other side when you go, I can do this. Look, I don't need 1,000 guys around me now anymore. I can do this, guys. And can you imagine Elijah? I mean, it's just crazy. He calls fire from the heavens. He does all those crazy things, and a woman comes and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And Elijah goes, oh no, oh no, oh no. And the guy he falls apart completely. Hides in a cave, falls into depression, the whole deal. And you go like, and it just doesn't make sense. Can I say to you guys, Elijah's nothing. Elijah calling fire from heaven, Elijah was still nothing. Elijah was purely in his dependence on God. You take that away, Elijah's nothing. Listen, guys, your victory is not an excuse for you to let the God go. And I want to ask for those of us that have seen breakthrough, has seen victory, has completed a season. He's waiting for you. I don't need so much prayer anymore. I'm all right. Oof, I'm all right. I'm all right as the enemy's food. I can do this. Woo-hoo-hoo! No, he loves that. But he fears the man that knows that he's weak. He fears the man that knows he cannot do it in his own. He fears the man. He fears the man that finds his dependency on God. And he will even give you victory so that you will be less dependent on him. He will lure you in with success. He will lure you in with victory. Here's the season. Charles is see out the season to go to Russia now. He's trusted God. This whole thing has just been amazing. Oh, he's about to climb in, and it's just so easy again. I'm like, Charles, in Jesus' name, the season is finished, but you're going to the next one. Stay dependent. Charles, you nothing. No, shall you nothing. That's the best advice that we can give him. Shall you nothing. Shall what you have is from the Lord. He set you apart. He's given you grace. Without him, you Elijah running away from a woman. Seriously. But with the Lord, you destroy the Baal prophets. With the Lord, you can call fire from the heaven. But without him, and so I'm saying to us, heart shields us, don't think you stand. Don't think you stand. Don't think you stand, lest you fall. Okay. I'll say, hey, 1 minute. I've got 1 minute left. So, I don't want to make it public, but since it's been mentioned now, there is a new aim for me, 35 minutes, and I will to preach and complete. And don't be happy, you guys. So I've got 30 seconds. Last one, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. When the Lord has spoken to you previously and you have not listened, all that happens is that heart gets hard. I'm just saying, you know your shield. You know how anointed that thing is right now. You know how sensitive it is. You know how easy it is for the enemy to penetrate right now. Right? Let us reflect quickly here and make sure that shield is anointed. Because I'm telling you, like, 75% has just put up their hands of things that's reoccurring that the enemy is bringing back that you previously think you've overcome. I think it is in God that there's an increase, and I don't want to become weird about this, but there's an increased attack on us because I think the enemy has found some of our shields as hard. Okay?